Have you ever been in a situation that you just missed a great opportunity because you hesitated, you weren't too sure, you weren't too confident, you didn't know if you had the strength or the energy to pursue it? Again, the Word of God tells us to redeem the time, which means take full advantage of the opportunities that God has. Amen. And brings to you. Part of that is having a strength, a boldness. If you're going to receive anything from God, Hebrews 6:12 tells us that it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. And we can grasp onto the faith, but it takes strength to do the journey of patience, because in the journey of patience, in the process of patience, in the process of receiving all that belongs to you from the Word of God that God's promised you. Because when you get saved, you come into a new family. You're in God's family, amen? And in that, everything that belongs, He's your Heavenly Father. Everything that He has promised you belongs to you, but you have to bring through the process of faith and bring it into your life this side of eternity. Now, you can wait till you get to heaven and everything you'll see manifested. Or you can begin to pray and believe and use your faith to bring it in this side of eternity so you can enjoy it now, but also use it as a testimony to help other people. Jesus encouraged people, the disciples, to pray that way, did he not? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The mentality that has been taught a lot of times in religious circles is that, oh, well, if God wants you to have it, it'll be easy and just fall into your lap. Not so. Not so, but we have to pursue it and go after it, because we see out of Matthew 13, when the word comes into our life, it produces faith if we get the understanding and embrace it. Can I get an amen? And in the process of getting the understanding, it begins to produce fruit, which is the result of the seed of the word. So it begins to bring the change. James says faith without works is dead, which means you do not see change until you begin to apply what's been revealed. When you begin to apply what's been revealed, then you begin to see this power of God operating in your everyday life. God has to be more than an emotional moment, or what many people call a spiritual moment, but many times is an emotional moment during an emotional service. He has to be able to demonstrate his power. We say he's all powerful, and yet we struggle and say, God can't do anything. And we begin to live our lives saying we're Christians, but believing he can't do anything. And I'm here to tell you that the power of the Word of God is of such nature, and the promises are so great and precious, the Bible tells us, that they can bring the change in any situation if we begin to embrace it and apply it and obey it. But there's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I would love for it to happen within the moments of high energy, would you not? Have you ever been in a high energy moment and said, this year is going to be different? You set at the beginning of the year, we typically do that. We set our goals high. I'm going to do different. I'm going to eat only clean food. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to go to church. And that's in the high moment. But in the low moment, what happens? We have to learn to manage the low moments, because if it's only serving God in the high moment, there's many times in the rhythm, routine of life, things aren't always exciting. Right. Let me say that again. In the routine of life, things aren't always exciting. That's one of the dangers of the social network world that they've discovered, is that people typically post exciting things, and if you look at it long enough, you'll think everybody's life is super exciting. And it's created depression in a lot of people, because they look and everybody's on vacation. Everybody's at a beach. Everybody just bought a car. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. Everybody, and yet everybody puts the phone down and goes back to reality. We're going to do selfie. Everybody smiles. And then they go back to screaming at each other. Not you. Not you. But it's in the process that we need not only strength from heaven to not only get us started, but to keep going until we experience what God has for us. See, I'm a firm believer in the Word of God. God said what he meant what he said. And when he spoke it, Isaiah 55:11 says, it will not return void. Right. Now, you can shut the door to it. You can stop it from operating your life. But you can choose, I'm going to follow the Word of God, and I'm going to bring it and believe I receive it and have it manifest in my life in a way that people who don't know Jesus can see it. See, if you can pray all day that God's blessed you, but if you can't spend it and write a check on it, you don't have it yet. But that doesn't mean you're a bad person. When you're on the process in the journey of faith, you are going through the journey and you're going to get and have all that already belongs to you by the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Someone shout amen if you believe that. And so we've been doing this series called Indomitable. Indomitable means to be strong, brave, and impossible to defeat or to make frighten. Strong, brave, impossible to defeat or make frighten, an indomitable spirit or will. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for this moment. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, right now, we plead and apply the blood of Jesus on this moment. We set it apart for every person here and those who are watching. Have your way. Have your will. Let truth resound in our ears and our hearts with understanding today. Speak to every person. Reveal your word wherever they're at in their journey. And I thank you for strength. I thank you for signs and wonders that follows your word. You watch over your word to perform it. It goes forth. It forces the natural to come into alignment with the realm of God. So we thank you for that. We give you praise. And everybody said, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19 has been a key verse of many that we've been utilizing during this series. And it says, the Lord God is your strength. Say, God is my strength.
God is my strength.
Say, God is my strength.
God is my strength.
Notice he's your source of courage, your invincible army. He has made your feet steady and sure like hind's feet and makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenge and responsibility. What does that say to you? For me, what it says is that God wants me to move forward in the journey of life, in his destiny. God's destiny is not for you to diminish. God's destiny is for you to increase. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of increase. God wants you to go to the next level. His destiny, if it's all about, oh, life was great and then I got saved and life's been horrible, something's wrong. Because God wants you to be better off than you were before in the old system of the world. God, the children of light should be shining bright. The children of darkness should not be the ones that are getting all the attention. Do you see my point? Jesus called you to be a light unto the world. Not only a candle that is on a stand that benefits everybody in the house, but he's called us to be a city on a hill that cannot be denied. I like to think of it this way. God wants to not only do something amazing in you, but do it in a way that you become a billboard of his goodness wherever you go. Because it's one thing to say that you can do something and you give God credit. Ooh, look at that. You did well today. Yeah, praise God. It's all about him, and yet you spent 12 hours doing it. In the back of your mind, you're saying, oh, it was all about me. I'm just trying to do the right thing. But it's another thing to live your life beyond your best. To live your life beyond your best. In a way that you know without him, you cannot make it. Now, I'm not saying just go out and do stuff to do stuff. I'm not saying go out there and try things just to try things. We've learned to follow God. Look and follow the alignment of his word. But if you look at the stories and the miracles of Jesus, if you look at the stories in the Old Testament, one thing you can realize that these people that God was using could never do it on their best day without God. Let me say that again. They could never do it on their best day without God. I mean, how good does Peter have to be to walk on water? He could never do it on his best day without God, right? How good does Peter have to look to the lame man and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, and him get up and walk? He could never do it on his best day without God. Boy, I feel that in my spirit. He could never do it on his best day without God. See, we look to live our best life based within our best ability. I'm telling you, God wants you to live beyond your ability where you are stepping into his ability. You are stepping into his ability. And there'll be times in our when we walk this process out, it doesn't mean you're going to hit it and hit a home run every time. You're learning. Say, I'm learning. I sure hope you're learning, because we encourage all of us to learn. No one's perfect. No one knows everything. We should all be growing. Be comfortable with that. Be comfortable with that. If someone's got a different opinion, fine. You pray for them and ask them to pray for you. You both might be right. You both might be wrong. One might be right. Who knows? But as long as you're open and hungry for God to reveal his word to you and keep growing, I believe there's all these different areas of our lives. Some people only share what is their strength zone. But everybody, we do realize that there's more than one area of your life. Your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life, your relationship life. You got all these different things in your areas of life. And many times if we're happy and excited, we'll be excited about one and we'll ignore the other. But I think God wants every area of your life to be at a level that is beyond your best. Now, please, I encourage you on a regular basis, challenge everything I say with the word of God, because it's the Bible that makes the difference, not my words. Right. I'm telling you, you say, oh, one day I'm gonna work hard so I can get to there. Okay, if that's in alignment with the word of God and the will of God, why don't you believe for more than that? Oh, no, I could never do that. I know. But God can, if it's in alignment with his word. Amen. See, Abram, God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham means the father of many multitudes or nations. You know what Abram means? A father of a multitude. He was still called a father. But he was living under the canopy of a title saying, I am a father of a nation. And yet the natural said that he was a father of no one. He was identified, labeled as a father of a nation. But the reality, what he and many of us in our day and age call the real world, he was the father of no one. Right. So a father of no one was saying, I'm a father of a nation. Right. So he lived with the reality of basically saying, I can't do this. It was impossible for Abram to become a father of a nation, because in the natural, he was a father of no one. And then God shows up. And God said, I'm going to change your name. Because what I'm going to do through you is beyond the best that you can do for yourself. Do you see that? We'll be happy if we go through the day without pain. God said, I'm going to get you so you're not just in pain. I'm going to get you to a place of strength. We'd be happy if I didn't live with the financial pressure of just making the monthly bills and payments and getting those in on time. God said, I want to take you to the place that you don't even think too much about the bills. You're more concerned about, God, who do you want me to bless this week? Oh, I don't know if I could ever get that. You don't know my job. You don't understand your God. Because you're limiting your capacity or ability to receive based on what you see in the natural and not what you see in the realm of God. So God shows up to Abram, did he not? And said, I'm going to change your name. Oh, what are you going to call me now? God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Which just doesn't mean you're the father of a nation. It says you're the father of many nations. What was God doing? He's saying, I'm going to take what you couldn't do in your very best, and I'm going to multiply it. And if you trust me and follow me, come on, somebody. Someone just got that in their spirit. If you trust me and follow me, I'm going to do through you and for you and in you what you could never do in your own self. Whew. So Abram went from a father of nothing to a father of many nations, which is way beyond his greatest desire. Doesn't the Bible say that? Doesn't the Bible say that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man? Now, wait a minute. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. I have a great imagination. I can think of some great things. But the Bible says that your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, neither has entered your heart. The things, praise God for an emotional moment, but you got to move beyond the emotional moment, because at the end of the day, the emotional moment is not getting you to where God's called you to be if it's only in the realm of emotion. Now, the anointing of God is not an emotion, though it might feel like an emotion. You got to learn to discern the difference. And a lot of churches, and I'm not here to bash anybody, a lot of churches are great at serving a plate of emotion and leaving the people hype and energetic, but then they get in by the real world into the problems and challenges and opportunities of life, and they can't spend that because emotions come and go as quickly. They leave as quickly as they go. They leave as quickly as they come. But the substance of the word of God and the anointing of God doesn't leave, it produces. It doesn't leave, it produces. It's a seed that's planted in the ground, and though you might not always see it in the natural, when it's been planted on the inside of you, it gives you life and strength, and all of a sudden, you have an understanding that what I don't see is not my limitation, because what I don't see is really in the spiritual side that God will show me, reveal to me, and if I don't see it in the natural, that doesn't mean I don't have it. It's coming, it's producing, it's in the process. So Abraham began to declare who he was in destination, not in process. Abraham began to say, I'm a father of many nations, when he was a father of no one. And then he said, I'm a father of many nations, when he was a father of someone. And he said, I'm a father of many nations, when he was father of many. He said, I'm a father of many nations, when he was a father of a lot. He said, I'm a father. What was he doing? He was speaking from the perspective of God's truth. Right. And not in the perspective of the process. If we're not careful, we will redefine the direction of our ship by the words we speak. And James says that. And we will reiterate or restate what the world says about us and not what God says about us. Oh, I'll never have that. I'll never be happy. I'll never get married. I'll never have a family. I'll never be successful. I'll never know what it feels like to be energetic and healed and healthy. I'll never. And right there, you finalized the door and you closed it on the word. But I'm a firm believer that wherever you at, and everybody's different. Everybody has different levels. We're not here to compete and compare with each other. I'm not saying that you have to match up to somebody next to you or behind you in front of you. But I'm saying, wouldn't it be amazing to live your life at a level that's beyond your very best so that all the glory may be of God? Well, where's that else in the Bible? Doesn't the Bible say that we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Why? We have treasure in humanity, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory, that the credit, that the glory goes to God. Amen. But for us in the process, God needs us to be strong. Amen. He needs us to be courageous, Joshua 1. Because he'll set you on the path of journey. And in the process of the patient, of the process that takes patience, and the process that takes time, many times the devil will try to derail you or detour you. But you have to be focused and strong. Say, I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
Why? Because he's your strength. How do I tap into his strength when I feel weak? How do I tap into strength when I look weak? Psalms 118, verse 14 in the New Living Translation says, the Lord is my strength. This is David. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. He's given you what? He's given you victory. Now, if you've been with us through the series, and if you're not, these are all available online, YouTube, Facebook, but you'll see that there's so many scriptures that says that God wants you to be successful or victorious. Thank you for the three amen. Religion will tell you that God wants you to live defeated. The word of God tells you God wants you to be more than a conqueror, an overcomer, a head, not the tail. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's given me victory. Say, he's given me victory. I want you to take 30 seconds. I'm going to work you today. Take 30 seconds. Just begin to thank him for victory. Not only the victory he has done, but the victory you have yet to see. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength. And if you want victory, you not only need to understand that he's your strength, you need to understand your song. Yeah. No song, many people are lacking in strength. No song, and they miss out on their strength. Well, I don't need to sing. I'm not a singer. What you're saying is you're not a great vocalist, but you are a singer. The Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. He didn't do it because he needs it. God does not need anything. He's all sufficient. He did it because he knows you need the benefit from it. I need a song. Say, I need a song. Some of us were looking for songs that someone else has written, and praise God, you can sing those songs, but that's not the song he's talking about. It's a song that comes out of your heart. It's okay. Let no one be in the room. Get in your house and begin to walk the hallways and begin to sing unto the Lord. A new song, the psalmist said. Begin to sing a song maybe it's never written. It don't have to have a great beat. Don't have to have a great tune. It just begin to sing unto the Lord. Because until you learn the power of singing the song that he gives you in the moment, until you learn to operate in that level of praise, and just not, if your praise is limited to what happens before the word on Sunday, if your praise is limited to what has been recorded on a project, if your praise is limited to what someone else has written, you're missing out on some of the greatest moments of praise. If your praise is limited to only those who are good singers, you're missing out on some of the greatest moments of praise, because some of your greatest moments of praise will be you and him and nobody else as you walk the house in adversity, in trials, in challenges, and begin to give him thanks, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. In the beginning of this chapter, David reiterated several times, begin to say, for he is good. If you don't know what to say, begin to say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, but I'm hurt, but the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Jesus said it this way, that in this life you'll have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. How do you overcome? By hooking into his victory. See, when he's already won, then you are more than a conqueror because he's paid the price. That's something to sing about. That's something to sing about. The New Testament talks about singing in the Spirit and singing with our understanding, praying in the Spirit and praying with our understanding. What are you doing? Because when you spend time in his presence, you're going to get a revelation of who he is. And out of that revelation, you won't just be singing, this is the day. You'll sing songs you've never sung before. You'll begin to say, Father, I thank you that you are good and your mercy. And all of a sudden, while you're just doing what you know to do in the ABCs of it, in the first base, if you will, at the beginning phase, you're walking around and maybe you're not comfortable raising your hand. Just lift one hand. Father, I thank you. You are good and your mercy endures forever. You're thinking, I don't know what difference that's going to make. I don't know how that's going to change anything. But you're just doing it. I'm just going to do it because it tells me to do it. Because you are my strength and my song. Father, I thank you that you are good and your mercy endures forever. And all of a sudden, while you're doing that, your mind will start thinking, hey, why is he good? Oh, he's good. And all of a sudden, you begin to see that your Father wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know who he is. That's why he gave different names in the Old Testament to identify his personality, identify characteristics, identify the benefits. Because Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm just worshiping you. And I know you that I'm going to come out better because you are good. You don't come out worse, you come out better. You don't walk out of the presence of God worse, you come out better. Oh, I was having such a great day, and then I just spent time in the presence of God, and now I'm just miserable. I'm so depressed, so sad. No, that's not what the Bible says. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so you might just start. You drive down the car. Keep your eyes open. Lift your hand. Father, I think you are good and your mercy endures forever. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures to what you need. Maybe you need to realize that he is your healer. Amen. That he is the God who healeth, the Bible says. Maybe you need to come to the revelation that he is your provider. And instead of being so fearful of everything that people say about you at work because you think they might try to take you from your job, you begin to realize, wait a minute, he's my source, and the jobs, he can change it around, but you can walk in confidence. You start walking in confidence and your enemy's going to get nervous, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says, that when you walk in the confidence of God, your enemies, it will be a sign to your enemy. It will be a sign to those who gossip about you. It'll be a sign to those who are trying to take you out. It'll be a sign to those who've been plotting against you. It'll be a sign. The Bible says your confidence in God will be a sign to them that their end is coming. Say, I need a song. Shout, I need a song. The Lord is my strength and my song. And my song. Verse 15, songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. It's not songs of, oh, Jesus, why me, Lord, why me? Oh, no, that's not a song of victory. That's not a song of joy. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. He inhabits the praises of Israel, which means the praises of his covenant people. And Paul tells us, we can say, well, that's for them. But Paul tells us that when they rejected Christ, that we, the Gentiles, were grafted in. And so now he not only inhabits or shows up at the praises of his covenant people, Israel, he shows up at his covenant people, the Gentiles, who are born again. Are you with me? So all of a sudden, when you begin to praise him, he shows up. As you begin to honor him, he shows up. As you begin to demonstrate, Father, you are good and your mercy, he shows up. Say, he shows up. And when the King of Kings shows up, he doesn't just show up with just a part of him. He is fullness. He's all sufficient. Everything. When he shows up, he brings everything. Some of you have a friend who might have a lot of money, and you show up and you look at him and say, did you bring your credit card? Did you bring your checkbook? Oh, I didn't bring anything. Well, we can't do what I want to do if you didn't bring some money with you, because I need you to spend your money. Come on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But God's not that way. God doesn't forget anything because everything is within him. Do you see that? God doesn't say, oh, if you need a healing, I got to go find a healing and give it to you. He is healing. He is health. Are you saying, Lord, please bless me. I need a financial miracle. He doesn't have to call the accountant and find out if there's money. He is provision. The Bible says he gives of himself. Do you see that? So when you receive from heaven, whatever you receive, you are receiving the entity, the essence of heaven, which is God himself. That's why it feels so good to receive from heaven. Because the excitement is not in the thing you receive. The excitement is who you receive from. Oh, we're going to go deep for a minute. Because if the excitement was just what you receive, then what you receive should maintain the excitement in your journey. But we know that once you got your healing, you're dancing and jumping and shouting. But in the process of time, you look back and say, whoa, I'm thankful for that. But you don't think about it anymore. It doesn't provide the excitement anymore. Because the true excitement wasn't in what you had answered. The true excitement is what you experienced when he gave of himself. What will excite you is the presence of God. Can you imagine being in, God forbid, the worst moment of your life and begin to operate, put to action the truth of his word and begin to walk and become excited in the storm? Not for the storm, but in the storm. Have you ever been in a storm? Man, I wish I was Jesus or T.D. Jakes or somebody. I could preach this a lot better, but I'm just trying to get you there. Because there is something about going through a storm, but not letting the storm get in you. And when you operate and begin to lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. You are good. You are good. You are good. And victory is mine. And you begin to get a revelation of that. Guess what? In the storm, you'll have peace. In the storm, you'll get excited on the inside. In the storm, you'll have strength on the inside. Why? Because you know it's not your strength. It's his strength. David, in the storm, saw Goliath and ran to him and had already told the king, I can take him, and then explained that the God who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. So he always recognized that without God, he could not do it. But when he understood what God was doing, he was bold to pursue it. When he understood what God was saying, he was bold to pursue it. When he understood what God was planning, he was bold to pursue it. The reason a lot of us aren't bold to pursue it is we don't know what God is saying or doing. We just don't like the situation, and we're trying anything. And you can't try anything. You have to know what he's planning, saying, and doing. How do I do that? I begin to give him thanks from his word and begin to give him praise from his word. And your word tells me you're my healer. So I'm going to walk the streets and say, I thank you that you are good and you are my healer, the God who heals me. The Lord is my strength. You're good. See, if I could preach better, it'd be even better. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory. Songs of joy and victory. Songs of joy and victory. So when I'm at my weakest moment, which means you can redefine that as when I step beyond my strength. I don't know how much strength you have. Maybe we can measure it in dollars. We can measure it in steps. If you were 3 steps and you're strong, have you ever been there? And then you begin to notice, okay, the next step is not me. That line, that's weakness. I'm in strength over here. I can do this. But God, you're asking me to do that. So I got to love Peter. Peter was willing to try anything. Peter initiated the whole walk on water. He's saying, Lord, if that's you, call me. Call me. See, to step into the place of your weakness in a place of strength, you have to look for the calling, the pulling of the Holy Spirit. Don't give me, God loves everybody the same, and so he treats everybody the same, and everything goes for everybody. God does love everybody. God does value everybody, but the instructions of heaven are not the exact same for everybody in the moment. If you believe that they are, then go get a boat, go to the lake, and start to walk on water. And you'll find it didn't work for you. Why didn't it work for you? Because Jesus didn't call you onto the water. That's where people get in foolish. Well, it worked for them. I'm going to do what they did. Well, if Jesus didn't ask you to do what he asked them to do, don't do it. Am I helping somebody? You don't need to compete. When you try to compete, you'll get yourself all messed up because you're doing what other people did, or you're trying to do what other people did and thinking you'll get the same results, and you won't. But when we come to the max of our strength, the next step is our weakness. But God doesn't want you to be intimidated by that, because the first step of your weakness is the first step of his strength. If you're following his process, he'll give you the strength because you have a song. Ted Shuttlesworth, who's a personal friend and minister, had told me how Oral Roberts had shared with him one time many years ago. He encouraged, you need to pray until you feel the peace of God that day. But if you stay in it until you begin to get a song, you know you have strength for the day. It's within the song you'll find your strength. How long do I stay in God's word or his presence or prayer? Until you get a song. When you get a song, you have strength. See, when I have a song, come on, that doesn't mean you're going to write a song that's going to be a big hit and make you a lot of money. When you have a song come from your heart to the Lord, you have strength for it. We see that all the time. God says to Israel, his people, you don't have to fight. I'll fight, but I need you to sing. I need you to get out there, and I want you to sing. I want you to walk around that wall, and then I want you to shout. I want you to do something. I'm going to do my part. You need to do your part. Because when you have a song, you begin to access his strength. You might be going to the doctors about a serious situation. But if you can get a song, you're going to step into that office with strength. I'll be strong when they tell me the results. People make mistakes. God doesn't make a mistake. Let all men be liars and God be true. If I can get a song. But I'm not a musical person. I didn't ask you to be musical. I ask you to spend time in his word, in his presence. Until you get a song. When you get a song, you know you have strength. When I have a song, I get strength. It doesn't mean you don't notice your weakness. If you didn't notice your weakness, you'd think it was you. But when the devil tries to use that against you, you can rise up in God and say, wait, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm getting ready to step in something greater than. Because I know he's told me to go one more step. And if he's revealed that from his word for me to do this, then there's strength for me to do it. Because my strength comes from him. He is my strength. Am I helping somebody today? Say, he is my strength. Now, one of the things that, if you've been around the church world, you'll hear this preached a lot. And it comes out of 2 Corinthians 12, and it's Paul's situation. Are you familiar with this? And Paul talks about how he was being buffeted. He asked three times for it to be removed, and Jesus shows up and said that my strength is perfect or completed in your weakness. Right? Right? So my end of my strength or the beginning of my weakness is the beginning of his strength. His strength is perfected in my weakness. I'm going to show you a different perspective because a lot of people will read that and just, they want to suffer. They have a whole theology on suffering. Everybody should suffer. And yet they don't want to suffer. They get a headache, they take an aspirin. I don't know why. Why don't you just suffer? It's getting quiet. They believe poverty to be spiritual, but they spend 60 hours a week getting a paycheck. If you spend 60 hours a week to get a paycheck to get money, and you truly believe God wants you poor, then you have to think that you're spending most of your life fighting God. It's getting quiet. If you really believe that God put the cancer on you, why are you taking treatment to fight what God's doing? Right? I'm just asking, we're just asking logic, right? If you believe everything that happens comes from God, why do we put anybody in jail? We have to wake up to the reality that Adam has subjected the spiritual side to the devil. And the devil works through people. And the devil will try to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. And so on your journey to the promise, you'll come to the place of your inability. But the limit of the beginning of your inability is the beginning of his ability. Stay with me. And Paul accounts in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look it up, write it down so you look it up later. And he begins to say, and Jesus said, listen, in your weakness, that's when my strength becomes complete. And Paul begins on to say that I begin to enjoy then these things that are hitting me. Why would he embrace them or enjoy them? I don't want them. Because he learned also, stay with me, he wasn't saying I enjoy them, that I'm just walking around Molly Grubbs and miserable and, oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. That's not what he's saying. Could it be possible that the same guy who wrote that also wrote Romans 8 that said, in all these things we are more than conquerors. So he's not writing from a perspective of weakness and failure. He's writing from a perspective of strength, that in Christ, I'm victorious. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. So what is he saying? I've learned to discover that when opportunities come against me, to count it as a positive thing, because what is a weakness for me is the door opening of the strength from God, and I can be victorious in it. Because if you're going to go to the next level, if you're going to go through to the process of destiny, you have to realize that your situation does not define your destination, and you have to be able to to walk over the problems of the enemy. Begin to say, I see you, but I will not allow you to defeat me or cause me to stop. I will not camp out at the campground, the valley of the pit of the enemy. When God's called me to the palace and said, I've come to use you to make a difference. Joseph could have said, I'm going to stay in the pit of prison. But he said, no, God's called me to make a difference. He could have said, I'm just going to be offended by those who didn't help me. He said, no, I've been called by heaven to make a difference. And he was called and brought to the second most powerful position in the most powerful country on the planet. And God used him to save the seed. The seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. Before Moses, before the law, the seed of Abraham. Because God made a covenant to Abraham. For Abraham. But he didn't make it just with Abraham, because if Abraham failed, it would be over. So God made a covenant, the Bible says, between him and himself for Abraham and his seed. Seed referring to Christ, we see Paul write in the New Testament. Stay with me, we're going somewhere. So the seed is not only just Abraham, it's to Abraham and going down to the lineage of Christ. So when he made a covenant with Abraham, for Abraham, through Abraham, to Abraham, he made the covenant to Abraham, knowing that it was going to bring his son on the cross. And if you're, Galatians tells, and if you're in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. And heirs according to the promise. So God started with the covenant with Abraham, the guy who couldn't do what he wanted to do, and said, I'm going to do through you what you could never imagine. I'm not going to help you reach your goals. I'm going to blow your goals to smithereens, because when it's done, you'll know it's all me and not you. And I'm going to do it in the way. And so God said, listen, I'm going to do it in the way, and I'm doing it for you and to the seed, because I know in God sees the end from the beginning. He knew that what was going to come through Abraham was a generation of people that not only are in covenant, the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Oh, my God. And so God said, in the process of the journey, somebody was taking one of his people out. They threw him in a pit. They threw him in prison. They threw him in prison again. But he said, I'm not going to let that define me, because I have a destination. Don't let the problems define you. He said, I'm getting hit from every side. Then you ought to celebrate, because the devil's mad at you about something that you're not aware of. I mean, if you create your own problem, that's you. If you create your own problem, that's you. If you go, the devil's just messing with me. What do you do? I got fired today. Well, that wasn't the devil. You chewed your boss out for saying, why are you 2 hours late? But when the enemy's trying to attack you, don't be defined by your problems, be defined by your destination. And he said, listen, I am going to someplace. I am called for something greater than this pit. I'm called for something greater than this prison. I'm called. What did God take? Oh, he took him to the palace. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, that's just a little too much. You know what I mean? Well, for you, it might be that maybe God hasn't called you to make a difference to a nation, because God had to position him there. Position him there. Why? Because that was what God used to save the remnant. Famine was coming, and God said, bring my people close so they don't starve. Ooh, that was practical. See, I'm a firm believer that God wants to use you and to elevate you, not just so you say it's all about me, so you say it's all about God, and can be used by God in a position of power to help the remnant, to reach the people that God wants you to reach, to help to do what he's called you to do. Because it doesn't stop with you. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't stop with you. You're a piece of a big puzzle. And God said, are you willing to let me shape you, not by the problems, but by the promises, so that I can put you in the position I have for you, so that you can see and people can see that there's big things going on in your life. You're a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. You are big time. Say, I'm a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. So when I get to the, oh Lord, I can't do that. That's too great. That's too big. God says, I know it is. So now you have to decide if you're going to trust me and let me guide you. so that you can do maybe what you've never done before. Never get so comfortable that you're not looking for God to take you to the next step and stretch you. Oh, that's beyond my comfort zone. I know. Isn't that awesome? You know, you're going to follow the Lord. He's going to stretch you beyond your comfort zone. Because in your comfort zone, you're comfortable. Isn't that deep? In your comfort zone, you're trusting in your own abilities. But when he says, I want you to take a step. Could be your career, could be a relationship, could be your study time, could be prayer time, it could be whatever the Lord asks you to do. It could be inviting someone to church, it could be praying for somebody at work. I don't know what it is. It's small, great, many, few, don't matter. But in the process of the journey of what God's called you to do, you're going to have those moments that he's going to say, do you trust me to try? Let me do what I can do, and all you need to do is trust me and try. All right, Lord, here it goes. And the devil said, don't do it. You're going to mess up. You're going to sink. And say, see, that should be sometimes now a great sign to you when the devil's screaming in your ear, you're going to fail, that you are on the right journey to succeed. Because he's a liar, the father of all lies. Jesus said, there's no truth in him. But to have his strength, we have to have a song. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me. Say, he's given me. That doesn't mean you don't do anything, but you realize that the source of all that is good comes from him. He has given me the victory. Songs of joy, songs of victory are sung in the camp of the godly. I pray your song changes this week and you begin to sing the songs of joy, songs of victory. Because of your time and your presence, his presence in your life. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. If you'd be so gracious to bow your head and close your eyes, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? In the way you process and experience and relate, do you know him in a way that you know without a question or doubt that he's real and he's your Lord and Savior? If you don't, you can. Romans 10 tells us those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 3 tells us that he's knocking. If you open up, he'll come in. So I want you to pray this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and you're under the weight of sin and condemnation and bondage, this is your day to be free and forgiven. Let this prayer come from your heart. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.